Okay, so let's unpack this. How does a province outscore like entire countries? We're talking places like Egypt and Saudi Arabia in grade 9 math, while at the exact same time, 55% of its fourth graders are functionally illiterate.
Yeah, it is a staggering contrast, honestly.
Right. So today we are doing a deep dive into the 2024 World Bank Western Cape Education Sector Analysis. Our mission is to figure out this paradox of South Africa's best performing province and, see what it actually takes to fix a systemic learning crisis without getting totally overwhelmed by the data.
Exactly. And, well, the secret to understanding how a system can be best in class, but also fundamentally failing, hides right behind those high averages.
I mean, an average can completely mask the extremes. It is sort of like celebrating being the fastest runner while you're actually stuck in quicksand. It just doesn't reflect the reality on the ground.
That is a perfect way to describe it. So in South Africa, public schools use this quintile system, which categorizes schools by community poverty levels. The Western Cape's high average is heavily skewed by this legacy of wealthy, fee-paying quintile five schools.
Right, the ones that consistently score well over 500 on international math tests.
Yes, exactly. But we should probably clarify what a 500 actually means on these assessments for the listener.
Oh, for sure. So on the TIMSS scale, right, which tests math and science globally, 500 is essentially the center point.
Right, so hitting a 500 means students have a really solid competitive grasp of the subject. But the problem is that those high-scoring, wealthy schools completely mask the reality of the no-fee schools, which are quintiles one through four.
Wait, really? So how low are those schools scoring?
Well, they're scoring well below the low international benchmark of 400. And I mean, dropping below 400 means a student lacks even the most basic mathematical knowledge.
Wow. So if the gap is that massive, it absolutely spills over into the classroom. I was looking at this wild statistic from the source data where the top third and the bottom third of grade 3 learners in the exact same school differ by 52 percentage points in math.
It's just huge.
I mean, teachers are basically forced into multi-grade teaching by default, right? They are trying to teach first grade basics to half the room while keeping the advanced kids engaged. So, what does this all mean for the students?
Well, what's fascinating here is how this impossible classroom heterogeneity connects directly to the massive dropout rates you see after grade 9.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because you literally cannot teach a child to multiply if half the kids in the room are still, trying to add single digits. So students aren't just leaving to find work, they're functionally lost. When surveyed, they actually report that school feels useless or not interesting.
Which makes total sense. I mean, if you are sitting in a grade 9 math class, but your foundational skills, stop developing in grade 3, everything the teacher says might as well be in a foreign language.
Absolutely. And to make matters worse, due to population growth, the province actually needs to build 2,900 new classrooms by 2030.
Hold on, though. If teachers are already drowning, trying to teach three different skill levels at once, does just putting a new roof over their heads actually solve the learning crisis? I mean, building classrooms is great, but it doesn't fix the reading gap.
You're entirely right, which is why the province is rolling out this aggressive 1.2 billion rand back on track program. They aren't just building, they are fundamentally changing how instructional time is used to target basic math and reading deficits outside of normal hours.
That makes me think of the models they mentioned from Mississippi and Sobral in Brazil. Early childhood literacy really is the ultimate systemic fix, right?
It really is. Setting non-negotiable foundational benchmarks is the only way to claw back those skills. But, you still have to put these kids somewhere physically.
Right, and here's where it gets really interesting. The province is using a rapid school build program to literally construct their way out of classroom overcrowding using alternative building materials.
Because, I mean, a teacher cannot effectively run small group reading interventions if they have 70 teenagers crammed into a single room.
Exactly. So why should you, the listener, care about this, whether you are managing a corporate team or studying public policy? Well, because aggregate data almost always hides the real story.
Right. An impressive average can easily mask an underlying crisis.
Yep. And relentlessly investing in those foundational skills is the only way to ensure long-term retention. But before we wrap up, there is one really provocative detail in the report. To fix this crisis, the province is experimenting with collaboration schools, where nonprofits actually partner to run public schools.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a huge shift.
It really is. It leaves you wondering if a government has to rely on private operating partners to rescue basic learning, does that fundamentally rewrite what public education will look like for future generations? Just something for you to mull over.